Let's begin our discussion this morning. And we have been talking about how God gives us hope. And that hope that God gives us is what allows us to say with Jesus that we have peace. And an incredible statement that Jesus makes to his apostles shortly before he's going to be crucified. And we want that peace too. And we've been talking about that peace for the last couple of weeks. Really, we have to get to the point of having peace with God. We spent some time this morning talking about the prodigal in Luke, the 15th chapter. It's an amazing story. How one of the sons of a father took his inheritance, wasted it, eventually found himself feeding pigs and was so desperate that he would eat the corn cobs that he was feeding to the pigs. And he went back to his father and he said, "Father, forgive me." And the father willingly forgave. He established peace with his father. So we're going to continue thinking about this idea of peace. And this morning, we're going to extend our understanding of this, and we're going to talk a little bit about the place that baptism has in this reestablishing peace. We'll start in Colossians, the second chapter, and I want to begin reading at the beginning of a thought. We'll start in verse 8, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 15. The part of this that I really want to focus on this morning is the middle part of this reading. But let's set the stage. He says, "Take heed, lest there be anyone that makes spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's why you have to focus. It's why you have to keep your focus on Jesus, because he is the key. You think that you can pursue the peace that you want in a lot of different ways, and Paul says, watch out for this, because you're trying to pursue peace in the wrong way and in the wrong place. He says, in him, and that him there is Jesus, in Jesus you are made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in Jesus again, you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Jesus, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision in your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having blotted out the bond that was written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he's taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Paul paints this vivid picture of what baptism really is. And I think if we begin to understand what baptism really is, we'll dispense with the idea that baptism is something that we do to earn our salvation. It's a circumcision. It's not made with hands. not like the circumcision in the Old Covenant. It's a circumcision that is the putting off of the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. In the circumcision of Christ, which is a spiritual circumcision, we cut off the old flesh. Romans, the sixth chapter, the apostle expands on this idea. In verse 6 beginning, he says, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away. That's what baptism is. It's doing away with the body of sin so that we should no longer be in bondage to sin. He that hath died is justified from sin. If we put the old man to death, if we have been baptized with Jesus, we put the old man to death. Yeah, and think about that for just a minute. Baptism is not something that we do. It's something that's done to us. In the same way that a baby doesn't participate in his own circumcision, but trusts the physician to do that procedure. You know, I had open heart surgery one time. Not open heart surgery, I shouldn't say that. I had bypass surgery. And before I went into the operating room, the anesthesiologist was talking to me, and you know, they explain all of the terrible things that could happen. And they start out telling you, you could die, okay? But only about less than 1% of the people that we do this to die. We are going to take you about that close to being dead. But it's okay. We can do that because we think we can wake you up again. Now, let me tell you something. When I was laying on the operating table, I had no part in waking me up. I had to depend on an anesthesiologist to, in essence, bring me back to life. Baptism is not something that we do. It's something that's done to us. We submit ourselves to God saying, it's okay. You can kill the old man. Not I will kill the old man. You can kill the old man. And I trust that after you've done that, you'll bring me back to life. But that's the second part of it. Having been buried with him in baptism, wherein you were raised with him through faith, not in your own ability, but through faith in the working of God. I trust that God can bring me back to life. Our baptism is nothing more than the antitype of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We go down into the grave. We go down into water, not into a grave like Jesus did, but we picture him. We are buried with him in that water. And then we are raised to walk in newness of life. This is Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. He says, are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism into death, that like as Jesus was raised up from the dead through the glory of the Father, So we also should walk, or might walk, in newness of life. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You cannot be the new creature until you let God put you to death. That's what it takes. So what exactly does God do in baptism? Now, it's not what do you do in baptism. What exactly does God do in baptism? He accepts you as a believer, as one of his own. And he marks you with the seal of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why Peter said that in Acts, the second chapter. Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So God is accepting you as one of his children. He grants to you salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. He washes away your sins. Not something that you do, something that God does. He puts the old man to death. He kills it. And he raises you to newness of life in Jesus. He adds believers to his body, the body of Christ, the church, and he unites with them. He sanctifies, he justifies, he cleanses believers through the washing of baptism. And we're going to talk about all of these things in the future. We'll develop them even more. But I want you to understand, this is what God is doing. These are things that we are powerless to do ourselves. So the question arises, when does God do this? He regenerates, he renews believers through the power of the Spirit, and it is in baptism. This is Colossians 2. We already read, we saw verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. You willingly say, put me to death, because I believe that you can bring me back to life. You have faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Regeneration occurs in baptism. Not before, not after. Regeneration occurs in baptism. A person emerges from baptism, they are raised with Christ. That is our being brought to life. It is a new life, not like the old life that we live, but a new life. The connection between faith and baptism underscores that baptism is where God's saving grace is applied. It's where God creates our identity. You are not the person who went down into the water. That person died. But God gives you a new identity as you are raised from that water. So next week, we'll continue our discussion. We'll talk about some of the things that God does that we're powerless to accomplish. But we want you to think about a simple idea. decide to follow Jesus. Decide that you're going to let God work in you.